Hey there, my name is Oisin Lunny and welcome to Audio Talks, presented to you by Harman. Now, this is the podcast where we explore how sound shapes culture. And this series, as you might know already, is a JBL takeover. That's right. So we are celebrating 80 wonderful years of JBL. And this series of Audio Talks is going to take a look back at eight decades of powering voices across studios, stages, cinemas, and providing the soundtrack to our everyday lives. We are also, of course, going to be looking forward at what's next in immersive audio innovation. Now, have a think about the last time that you pressed the play button, the last time that you pressed play. Maybe it was on a pair of headphones as you were on your commute, pair of beautiful headphones like these JBLs. Or maybe it was on a portable Bluetooth speaker like this lovely JBL speaker. Maybe you were on the beach as I was a few days ago. Or maybe you were just zoning out in your favourite video game late at night with a nice pair of earbuds like these ones. So have a think about that moment, because it's very clear that sound isn't necessarily something that you just hear. It's something you feel inside. So it's part of your experience. Now, today, audio is no longer tied to a device or a place. It moves with us, it adapts to us, and increasingly, it surrounds us. And in this episode, we are going to be exploring how that shift happened from the rise of portable social sound to the breakthrough of spatial audio that adds depth, dimension, and emotion to everything we listen to. So we're going to dive into the latest generation of portable speakers powered by AI to deliver bigger, smarter sound wherever you go. And we're going to have a look at how audio is shaping culture from everyday moments to the world of gaming. And I'm delighted to be joined by two VIPs from the Harman ecosystem. Great to see you again, Carsten Olesen, the president of consumer audio at Harman. How are you doing? Welcome back.
Great, Olesen. Great to be back here.
Fantastic. And we are indeed getting the band back together as we welcome back to the podcast as well, Sharon Peng, the Senior Vice President of Global Engineering for Lifestyle Consumer Audio at Harman. Welcome back, Sharon. How are you?
Hi. It's a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. Well, it's a pleasure to have you both back on the podcast for this very auspicious 80th anniversary JBL series. So let's hit play together. Let's start with yourself, Carsten. When you think about the phrase hitting play today versus 10 to 15 years ago, what do you think has fundamentally changed in how we experience sound?
There's been tremendous changes to how the audio experience is being lived today versus just 10, 15 years ago. And that development, I call it the unleashing of the audio experience, also very much fueled by what we call the wireless digital revolution, the whole ecosystem of streaming audio, and at the same time, the availability of wireless networks wherever we are today gives an incredible amount of opportunities to experience audio. So also, when you look at the type of audio experiences, it's much more diverse than what was just 10, 15 years ago. In these 10, 15 years, podcast channels like your own has become mainstream. Audiobooks, you know, gaming on the go, all enabled by wireless digital revolution that we've seen the last 15 years.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. And Sharon, you've got a different perspective on this, more from the engineering, the technical side of things. I mean, how do you think that pressing play has changed in the past 10 to 15 years?
Absolutely. I echo what you have introduced at the beginning and also what Carsten just described. You know, the whole environment and people's behavior and how they connect with music has changed a lot. So from engineering perspective, we're not just making the audio products for a fixed environment or for a fixed tuning environment and design and preference use cases. We have to look at the whole wide range of the environment where usually people use and different use cases, how they connect these products and make it much more user-friendly and reachable and connect with whatever the music they would love to connect. So that definitely measuring tools, tuning tools, and data sharing, that part, well, it's new challenges in the new sequence of the product. Comparing to 10 years ago, definitely a lot of very exciting, interesting engineering moments also created in our work.
Fascinating. Thank you both. Okay, we're going to move on to the next question. Now, Carsten, you're a bit of an OG. You've been in the field for some time and you've seen this shift from fixed systems to completely portable audio. Now, was there a specific moment when you realized that audio was no longer tied to anywhere? It was just available.
Yes, I think we realized you could see it coming from actually from a long distance. So about the time when we introduced the first Flip, our first, you know, totally wireless product that wasn't actually called Flip One. We didn't know that that would be coming a Flip predecessor. So about that time, you know, 2010, 2011, we knew that the audio experience was rapidly develop in multiple directions, as we talked about before, multi-channel audio in home cinema, podcast channels. And we were also aware that our audio devices needed to function in many, many different environments.
That's so cool. And Sharon, likewise, you have a perspective on this evolution. And today you talk a lot about the idea of sound being very personal, being very individual to the listener. How do you think that idea has shaped modern audio innovation?
When we used to talk about consumer products, you know, listening devices, it's always like, it's a kind of a passive product. Like, we're more thinking about the product itself rather than the experience. Now this shifted from consumer accepting the device to now the consumer-centric oriented devices and become more personal connected with each individual consumers. So from engineering perspective, it's a mindset change. Pretty much it's not like to the device, more standing on the user's point of view, what exactly this device should be, and personal, which means like where they're using the devices, what is the environmental they're listening, you know. From that perspective, what kind of system would adapt to the listener's usage of this? Do we need to make it adaptive to the environmental noise? That's where the adaptive ANC, acoustic noise cancellation, come in. And also preference-based tunings make the user be more connected with whatever they prefer to listen. So equalization part become also connected to their personal use. And then we're talking about multi-channels. We're talking about spatial sound. All of this, definitely AI-supported measurement innovations will make all these technologies more interesting, more adapting to the personal uses. So those are the really the interesting innovation direction we are pursuing to make this personal sound more connected with our users and have a pleasant experience.
That's fantastic. I mean, personal is quite a small word, but it really contains so much technology and innovation and detail and thoughtfulness about what's the best possible experience for the listener at the end. So that's really fascinating. Thank you. And Carsten, coming back to yourself, I mean, we've spoken about that evolution away from the fixed systems, and now there's all this innovation, and it really started with the Flip back in the day. But if you cast your mind back, was there a risk for JBL in terms of moving away from wired big box systems? When Bluetooth audio was first introduced, it was maybe an earlier version. How did you kind of navigate that?
You know, in business, we all carry a risk of missing a technology curve, which may, you know, be detrimental to the health of your company. But the brand of JBL has been vibrant for 8 decades as we celebrate this 80 years anniversary. And when you think about JBL, it's kind of evergreen, right? It's like always relevant. And I think that resilience that the brand itself and the teams around it has been able to preserve has really helped to keep that connection with its key target groups, right? The music listeners, the music lovers out there, right? Musicians, what have you. That, I think, is key for JBL, right? That innovative spirit always being relevant from the Woodstock recordings. Even before that, the first powered audio movie cinema, right? Recording studios. It's such a heritage, and that still with so much future ahead. Right.
It's not really about staying safe and staying in one place. It's always about pushing the envelope and embracing new technology and doing it in a way which honors that incredible heritage of JBL. I really like that.
We're still involved in what we call vintage audio, right? With horn-loaded speakers and, you know, box speaker configurations. That culture is still very vibrant, still very much alive. So I would say that what we're doing in the wireless space with smaller portable solutions is on top, right? But it's just that this audience, due to the digital revolution, has become dominant today. When you look at streaming audio, it's really mostly consumed over Bluetooth wireless portable speakers.
Yeah. And when you introduced the Flip in particular, I mean, how did that kind of change what these consumers expected from their audio experience?
It was a part of a new ecosystem where you would have millions of songs in your pocket available everywhere. And there was a need to be able to render these songs in a very easy way. And Bluetooth became the dominant connectivity format for these situations. So, the Bluetooth speaker and the wireless ecosystem together prompted that change, the simplicity of Bluetooth audio.
And of course, you know, we're enjoying audio these days in these social moments. It's on the beaches, it's in the bars, it's on the balconies. How much of the product design comes from human behavior first rather than technology, would you say?
I want to first add one point from engineering perspective. When we were adding the Flip, such a small speaker, to our product range, people would think, you know, JBL, famous on energy, on powerfulness, and on the dynamics. Can this speaker really deliver that? I think in some way, the portable speakers redefined the expectations and provided a lot of flexibility to our users, and they never had it before. So that's definitely, I feel like, at least in my life, that put me, you know, much more flexible, listen to my favorite. I always carry a speaker, small one, portable one, with me when I'm traveling, because it sounds much, much better when I listen to anything on my cell phone rather than plug into my ears. I have a portable speaker, which sounds like room feeling excitement much, much better. Regarding the design behavior related things, definitely, you know, we're thinking more about what the behaviors and what kind of user environment the user would use. I would think the design part definitely sets some guidelines for how we need to engineering it and change our way of design, actually engineering it too, not just by what it looks like. Because what it looks like implies a lot how it would work internally, because if with a different shape, with different behaviors that would like and use cases, and the design inside engineering design would be completely different. How much acoustic we need to provide, but still need to be powerful, need to be energetic, need to be giving a good full dynamics, clear voice, all of those engineering challenges we need to resolve.
It's really putting the customer at the center stage, right? It's customer centricity, understanding these use cases, as Sharon explains. And I think the development from the engineering side has very much been how to render convincing audio from smaller and smaller and more compact, more portable devices, right, has been leading that development, right, together with the mobility part.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I do bring this gorgeous speaker with me when I travel sometimes. And, you know, I can use it as a soundbar. It's like, really, it's that powerful. There's that much good quality sound from such a small device. It just makes such a difference. But Carsten, I actually saw that both of you have been featured in this lovely commemorative magazine that we will link to in the show notes, and it's celebrating JBL's 80th anniversary. And Carsten, in your interview, you mentioned about the importance of connectivity for the modern consumer. I'm curious to hear from you, what does that idea of connectivity for the consumer look like from the JBL perspective?
We're living more and more in the world of ecosystems, and there are several of them, and there are several protocols available. As a starting point, we always seek to be compatible to all ecosystems out there. So no matter if you're streaming from any of the bigger platforms, we'll be able to render it. No matter if you're Android or iOS, it will be the same seamless experience, right? That's very important. That's very, very key. So we are not linked to any one ecosystem. I'd like to say that we are building our own audio ecosystem that is really diverse in its structure and compatible to all. That's what we are seeking. Moving forward, you can see that audio plays a really vital part of any ecosystem, because any ecosystems in the end of the day needs a voice. And that voice is JBL or Harman Kardon or any other of our great brands.
Absolutely. I mean, I have an iPhone myself and an Android device, and I have speakers with Auracast. And I just know that whenever I kind of hit that connect button, it's going to be amazing sound. So it's like you take all of that complicated under the hood stuff away and just bring it down to a single flip on the phone or a button on the device. And it just makes my life a lot easier as a music lover. But I'd love to also reflect on, well, I'd love you to reflect on one of the kind of trends in our modern device landscape, and that is personalization. It's colors, it's different designs. And in fact, you know, we had the amazing spectacle of that wonderful artist Doja Cat bringing a kind of very swaggy JBL speaker onto the, you know, the photo shoots with the Grammys, and it was a big hit in the fashion magazines. I mean, when do you think that speakers became lifestyle objects? So not just audio devices, but actually things that you would have as a fashionista or at home.
Simultaneously as the portable audio revolution kicked off, right? You brought these devices with you. And in the beginning, we even called it personal audio, right? Because it's something you carry with you. And it became kind of an extension in some of a color, how you express yourself, and becomes part of your personal accessory program, right? You're bringing it every and put it on the table, and it's going to look great. And, you know, maybe even you're going to have it matching your style. Here we go, right? This kind of Swarovski style JBL go. I love it, right? So I think this is what drives it, right?
To me, like, absolutely, Carson was right. It's not only just the style or their favorite color. To some people, it's identity, and they could own multiple skins of different colors of the things, and matches with their fashion style, strong expression of their feelings as well.
Absolutely. Sharon, I will never forget when we were at CES together, all of us, and you kind of said, listen, we have a little preview in here. And in a special room, you had a white version of the party box that was designed for the ski slopes. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's genius. That is so good. So like, this technology is kind of fun, it's alive, and it fits into the lifestyle of consumers wherever they want to enjoy it. But Carsten, you have in some interviews described sound as becoming alive and responsive. Now that is very compelling to me. Tell us a bit more about what that actually means.
Well, it means several things at the same time, right? To go back to what we talked about, personalization and how we invest in unique customer experiences that's driven by proprietary technology, right? Just go back to, you know, some of the basic technologies that you find, for instance, on our upcoming new live series of headphones, but not limited to. Really, first listening test is available as part of that listening ecosystem that scans the hearing, and all our hearing frequency response and are different. So the opportunity to really personalize to a very, very high degree is now available, right? Independent left side, left, right side measurements and EQing. So you have a personalized setup, right? Then when you go into, for instance, the spatial audio space, right? The reason why spatial audio is relevant, not only in gaming, but in many, many spaces, is the fact that the spatial audio rendering provides believability in a virtual room. That's the role of spatial audio. And even Teams calls or other calls are now using spatial audio to render a more natural sound stage, right? The way the sound, the echo, the reflections are in a virtual room makes you understand whether the room is small, whether the room is large. The science behind this is incredible. It's math-based, right? So coming from that side, personalization, spatial audio, and how these systems respond to you as a person and how you can influence it is in many ways leading our innovation and some of the works that we are doing in our so-called A-Labs. And on the bigger scale, we are talking how several devices create a multi-channel sound field and how you balance that sound field. It really propels the audio experience to the next level, right? And that is something that we work with, that Sharon and I are working with in our development, our audio ecosystem. How do you take different devices that are, you know, different sizes, different frequency responses, and put them together in one room and they auto-calibrate and they start playing perfectly synced together. It's very, very powerful, and it's something that we start to untap. And I think really will be for us leading in the future, also from, let's say, a business consideration. You know, you buy one product, and I think the access point is maybe a JBL Flip, and you buy another one today, that's a Bluetooth environment, right? You kind of connect these two devices together. We are now launching the first generation of what you call AirTouch. You don't really need to tap any buttons. You just need to put to let them touch each other. They connect, and now you have a stereo sound state over Bluetooth LE. So I go back to, I think, one of the first questions you asked, how has the audio evolution impacted the business and the listening experience? I'd say that in some way, the Bluetooth and portable audio revolution, also we went from stereo sound to mono listening, but now that same format is able to render stereo. You know, Sharon showed a Go 5 before, and it's fantastic. But if you have another one, you'll be shocked when you're listening to stereo from such two small devices. I call it two Go 5s, as Sharon is probably the smallest stereo systems available on the planet. Yeah. It's very convincing, very powerful experience, and something that we are both vested in, right? So that's where we are going.
I can't wait to give that one a try. I can just see them bumping together and just doubling the sound coverage. That's great. But, you know, you're talking about maths, you're talking about calculations and frequencies and, you know, connectivity. I am wondering, and maybe I'm looking at you for this question, Sharon, is there an element of AI under the hood here? And are you kind of using it to increase that emotional impact of these musical moments?
Yeah, absolutely. We are already working on this aspect. One of the very good things, big data modeling, that whole thing, instead of just solid data, 1, 2, 3, 4, those single data, they can be a sequence of data and also continuous updating. Whatever the model you are building, it's more like understand the environment, understand the contextual settings. So definitely that will make the music settings more adaptive, more personalized, connect to the emotions. And with also further on, we are also researching the biosensing part, how exactly that would connect with our audio products. And that will add an extra layer to enable the AI together more powerful when we are doing the audio settings. We are looking at the whole aspects. How would we enhance the user experience by not let the user to understand all those underneath technologies, their experience become more smarter and easier and seamless.
I like that very much. So basically, you're giving consumers the option just to let the AI look after the technical stuff and just make it work and make it happen in a beautiful way. And can you tell us a bit about the biosensing aspect of it? Does this mean that, you know, these devices can maybe tell how you're feeling? I don't know. What is the aspect of biosensors in there?
Well, biosensing technology is not totally new. But on the consumer product side, the application layer, the accuracy, how exactly can tell people's emotion, that part still has a lot to do. Because talking about hearing, talking about seeing, eventually connect with our brains, right? How people really translate the emotion to what they need, or they are reflecting what the environment is into their brain, what they hear into their brain. This is like a very complicated mechanism, what you feel about music. So the biosensing part make a connection, but we have to do it in the right way. And how do you measure people's emotion? How do you measure the stress level? Do they need to relax? What kind of music would really they're looking for? All of this, it's a mystery to a lot of people, and I don't think they really understand exactly and also very descriptively. We have a lot of research, a lot of engineering work ahead of us, need to make all those solid connections. Biosensing definitely a very important part for our next step of product.
That is phenomenal. My goodness, Carsten, I bet when you started working in the field of consumer audio, things were quite different. You know, the idea that speakers can actually sense your emotions and give you the best possible experience, maybe that's very relevant in automotive, I'd imagine, you know, to kind of calm people down, to help them drive better, help them have a better experience. I mean, this is undoubtedly the future.
Oh, yeah, it's happening already, right? For instance, in the cockpit of a car, if you are not attentive, you start driving, it's observing you and it's proposing you to take a break. But while these technologies are developing into very complex measurements and directions, at the same time, there's another development that it has to be as simple and easy, as seamless as possible, because not all our customers can be expected to be sound engineers, and you also don't want to deal with it like that. So the experience has to be seamless. And you were mentioning, Ocean, AI, and there's so many layers and aspects of AI, and AI in products, AI enhancements of sound and measurements and understanding and analyzing bigger data sets. For instance, we actually launched two guitar amplifiers recently, and although stem separation exists, this was the first industry first device that's able to separate musical instruments real time. And what it means for the guitar player and for the musician is that you'll stream any soundtrack to these amps, these devices. And now, with the push of a button, very seamless, you can take the guitar out and you can put your own guitar over it. And that's an example of how, you know, AI technology unlocks completely new use cases. And this development is going so fast. We launched these two devices just a couple of months back, got an enormous attention interest at first, because the first time, you know, that you're able to run these algorithms on the edge, it's not cloud connected. So it's super, super fast. It all happens in the box. And now what's really interesting is we will launch in, I think, next month, the EasySync microphone for the PartyBox environment, where we built in that technology in a microphone, so that you can now stream, and with a click, you take the voice out and you can now overlay with your own voice. So you don't need to look for karaoke tracks anymore, because with the JBL EasySync microphone, I mean, everything becomes karaoke. So these developments are going on as the data sets are becoming more and more elaborate, so that we can separate in the future all instruments from which another, you know, a guitar, for instance, to go back to then, you have acoustic guitars, you have electric guitars, you have synthesized guitars. A guitar sound is in a different ways. And in the beginning, when you start this work for the engine, this is all zeros and ones and zeros and ones. It doesn't understand what is what. And in the ultimate case in stem separation, maybe there is a possibility that we in the future potentially could use technologies like that in headphones for ANC purposes to understand what is noise. And it gives you a lot of opportunities to let through sounds that you want to let in. For instance, you are bicycling with a headphone on and you have ANC on, but it's also great to detect a rapidly approaching bus from behind, right? Or in a home situation, a crying baby. So AI in devices and AI in system and orchestration layer plays a fundamental role today already, and more so in the future.
I love it. I love it. Now, there's obviously a lot of good kind of safety applications that will make people's lives better. But I am actually slightly fixated on that idea of the karaoke mic. So I'd like to apologize in advance to my neighbors. I do have a massive JBL party box downstairs in our house, and it is used for karaoke. And I think with that mic, it's going to get a bit busier. So thanks in advance and sorry to the neighbors. But listen, Sharon, while we have you here, you know, you're obviously such a brilliant engineering mind. And I wonder if you could explain to myself and our wonderful listeners, everyone is fairly familiar with surround sound, I would say, by this stage, but there's a huge buzz around immersive audio. So maybe could you help us get up to speed with the difference between surround sound and immersive audio?
Well, surround sound, you're talking about sound around you, right? It's the sound around you, but immersive, you're more connected. You don't really need to realize where the sound is, because you're submerged into where you are. And so that feeling is more like, from the user perspective, it's the connection with what they want to hear and their more expression of their feelings. Of course, we are building more and more immersive feeling rather than you need to know it's a stereo playing or it's a 5-channel or it's a 7-channel. There's could be infinity channels. You know, channel is physical, but immersive is non-physical feelings. That's what we are trying to achieve.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. And I saw in one of your recent interviews that you said immersive sound is very much about participation.
Yeah, and presence.
And presence. Could you double click on that for us?
So as we talk about the virtual feeling, but we also want to have this responsive, mutually understand, right? A responsiveness, presence, that where you are with the music. Be part of that. That's the connection part. It's very important because eventually coming to individuals, coming to user, it's a feeling. It's what they feel good about the music, about their life, about wherever they are in the environment. So that presence part, I think it's very important for us to make our device be connected in the way that it's more real.
That's so cool. And, you know, I believe there's some aspects of neuroscience around this. So immersive sound actually has a different impact in terms of memory, emotion, perception. You know, have you observed this yourself?
Yes, actually, I think Karsten touched that part for the, you know, when you are stressed driving in the car. Actually, for us also looking at home environment or on the go or when you're just doing simply exercise, that part, you know, you also need to understand, right? Are you winding down from a busy day, coming home? What exactly kind of music I want to play? But when I play it, is it really surroundings are right that I feel like I'm immersive? I can relax. Sleeping is an issue for many peoples, right? So that's why also JBL now, not only we are try to provide the best sound, but also the ambient environment with different lighting settings. And lighting is not just singly like you turn the red light, turn the yellow light. It goes with your music, goes with your expressive feelings. And those things, we are using the AI tool to work and make the connection there. You will see more coming out from us. And also we are adding soundscapes to really create the virtual environment into your real life. So for example, if you are at home, you're reading a book, but you're imagining that I wish I could read the books by the ocean, then we can set the ocean waves surrounding in the background while you are reading the books. And also if you're playing your favorite music, but you're thinking like, I wish this is like Amazon forest, and you can add the frog sound there and you can add the raindrops there too. So this kind of AI enhanced layers, we are adding more into our ecosystem. So give the flexibility when user needs that and they can have it available rather than just the dry audio equipment. We are putting a lot of things. I'm sure Karsten can add on from the product angle and from the customer angle a lot of insights why we're doing this.
Fantastic. Yeah, Karsten, I mean, that's a perfect cue. I'm wondering, is this part of a broader move of consumers towards experiential audio? Because this sounds very experiential. Sharon's talking about being immersed and being surrounded, being in the sound. You know, what's your take on this broader trend?
As we talked about, customer centricity is at the center stage, right? And then what Sharon describes and what we're discussing here is really new technologies powered also by the AI development unlocks new use cases, right? We have a lot of work in front of us, and certain things, we call them Horizon One experience, are already available today. We talked about a few of them here. As we are moving towards Horizon Two and Horizon Three, we'll have the opportunity to go significantly deeper, mixing in personal data, you know, understanding heart rate in a deeper sense will allow us to send audio streams that are tailored to specific purposes, right? For instance, around sleep, which is an increasing challenge today because we're living in a visual world where most of the time we are overloaded with visual processing. So How do you create safe spaces? How do you create relief? And how do you create relaxation? And it can be as simple as bedroom systems where falling asleep to the sound of oceans coming, you know, or rain. This is also where biosensing comes in, because how does these audio impulses impact the human mind and body, and how do we detect it and measurement if the frequencies we are sending have the desired results? So this is one out of incredible, exciting development. But at the same time, our developments are not only limited to that, going broader and deeper. And as we talked about how one of the fastest growing businesses in audio has been, you know, the party box segment, right? How do you use that very engaging, very lively device? How do you add new experience to this? For instance, with AI-driven microphones is where our head and minds are. You know, once you have critical mass, for instance, that we have on party boxes, you know, last year, more than $1 billion of sales just in party box, right? Or about 10% of whole Harman is party box. What other elements are relevant for a party, right? You go beyond the box. You have other light elements, and how we control this and how we sync it all together in one easy, seamless experience is critical for us as we move forward. And we talk about new technologies, and it is, yes, it is one of the more exciting elements, but we are also not leaving behind. There's still so many advances to be done in the mechanical space, in the more classical electroacoustic spaces. You're talking about new driver technologies, talking about new mechanical structures, replacement of classical drivers with MEMS drivers, as we're working with for now a new 201 Mark IV, our high-end technology platform for true wireless, will contain new types of drivers like MEMS driver systems. So that there's a lot of things happening in all areas. And this is, I think, what makes this so exciting. And today we talked about lifestyle and fashion and colors in the beginning of the session here. Yes, our design teams are following the fashion color trends. And that's super important. But the layer that Sharon and I are working in is we see ourselves as an audio technology lifestyle company, right? So there's more and more technology-based experience being unlocked here. And when you do that in context and in sync with all of the other things, that's what drives JBL and Harman forward the next 8 decades, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're speaking about this whole journey at a really key moment. You're connecting the dots basically for me to have my best karaoke experience ever. We're going to have the AI mic that takes out the layer of Bowie and I can sing over it. We've got lights that sync with the music. We can wheel over another party box and sync them up using Auracast. And I just want to apologize to my neighbors because we're going to have so much fun. And thank you, JBL. I'll just tell my neighbors it's all your fault. Brilliant, brilliant work. I'm looking forward to it. But Sharon, I'd like to come back to the whole side of immersive audio because, like you say, it's kind of a lifestyle consumer audio ecosystem. Everything is connected. And one of the things that's really completely transforming the world of gaming is immersive audio. Now, it used to be that you could only have immersive audio on really high-end systems, but now I have them in my beautiful JBL Tour M3s. Now, Sharon, what do you think that this means for the world of gaming to have this immersive audio environment that people can play in?
Yeah, so a lot of people are playing internet games and virtual games. This immersive audio is important because, as said earlier, the presence of the gamers, even though they're physically not in the same place, this immersive feeling makes them like virtually standing together. That interactive part of the gaming headphones are very important. Need to be true, need to be real and feeling real, you know, out of the five senses. How many can we maximize to so that they really feel like this immersive feeling is catching them? So in addition to what you just said, Tour Mark III headphones, we have a sequence of quantum headphones aiming just for gaming. Even thinking about more about gamers and gamers' behavior, definitely they're in a lot part, they're different from our usual usage for the headphones. That gaming part, we're thinking about how exactly the gyroscope should be designed, how exactly the motion needs to be detected, what kind of lighting settings could make it more stimulus to their gaming play efficiency. And biosensing could be part of that. When the heart rate getting up, what exactly will make the ambient to be more exciting, more presence, let them feel, which is real, although it's not real. Yeah, those kind of things we are adding more and more intelligence part to work on. And in addition, of course, there are also physical part, what kind of transducers we are going to use and what kind of motion detection we need to use. They need to not only see and hear, but they also need to feel. So that part we are also working on, how exactly their fingers would feel, their bodies feel anything, you know, like the gaming headphone is not just for ears.
What I'm getting loud and clear is the next 80 years of JBL is going to be even more exciting than the first 80 years. So this is just incredible stuff. Karsten, looking forward, where do you see the biggest opportunity for innovation? You know, is it in spaces like hardware or software or experience or maybe something else?
There's several, right? I would say it's very much in the orchestration layer that we see big opportunities. You know, we talked about it before. You know, when you own one Harman device, let's say you have a value of one, you buy another one, for instance, the two Ghosts, you should think you have a value of two, but now actually what they can do together, the synergy between them, now you have a value of three because you have stereo image. So that is the most simple example of what we'll be working on as we are moving from a vertical approach, you know, party box, portable audio, gaming audio, and we add this orchestration layer horizontally. How do we make it all play together? If you have party box and if you have a gaming audio in the room, you know, you can sync up the light show. There's so many things that can be done. We're working on integrating, I mentioned it before, for instance, using our portable audio devices as a rear channel in a surround sound system, multi-channel system, right? And this is something that we will deliver already here this year, where we combine different protocols together and always seamless. That's the magic, because it cannot be complicated, then it will not work. So a few things that we're working on is the development of that audio ecosystem of Harman's, of JBL's, that is compatible with all the other ecosystems out there, JBL 80 years, next 80 years, really creating lifelong customer engagement, trustworthy, credible company, offers compatibility backwards and forward so that you're sure when you invest into these products, you're investing into something very relevant that is expandable by purchasing of other products, and that unlocks new experiences. So I think no matter the technologies, the future is experience-led. And whatever technologies comes and supports and unlocks that experiences is something that will happen in the background. It cannot be in the foreground because then we complicate the storyline and we'll miss that opportunity.
Right. That's great, Karsten. You've just laid out what the future of hitting play actually looks like, and it may even be simpler than hitting play. Things might just happen by themselves. I love this to bits. And Sharon, what say you from your perspective? What does the future of hitting play look like?
Karsten said the tone very right. From engineering perspective, if we're talking about the ecosystem connects and that experience, what we are going to do. So from engineering perspective, there are a lot to do underneath. There are a lot to do that we need to support that ecosystem. We need to build that. We need to architect it right. And on top of that, we need to be very open-minded and embrace the new technology into it. So if we are talking about what new technologies, are you talking about more hardware, more software or something? I think I would say like embracing all the changes and embracing all the new technologies, what we are going to have. So if you're thinking about hardware part, yeah, maybe now it's experience-based, it's more software. Yes and no. Yes, absolutely. We need more, much more software compared to 20 years ago, compared to 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. We're talking about user experience, programmable. We're talking about AI. We're talking about how exactly you would make the user experience seamless. It's a lot of software to do. But on the other hand, the hardware needs to support that. It needs to really not support once. You need to architect the platform so that it will be continuously reused. And we also have the social responsibility on sustainability, right? So So all of this needs a hardware foundation. So from SoC to what kind of environmental friendly the user would benefit to use mechanical designs, all of this, even transducer. We are using more recycled material for transducers and the newer transducer designs and more efficient, use less power, but provide more sound, better sound, all of this. So from JBL engineering perspective, we are not changing our standard. JBL sound is still our super standard, but we are having the right direction to go towards that standard, embracing new technologies, empowering with AIs, and adopting newer development technologies into our systems. That's our challenge, but also very exciting to see it's coming and it's going.
My goodness. Okay. Exciting times ahead. TLDR, all of the above. Watch this space. And it's all about bringing it together in the best possible way for us listeners who will just get the glorious, connected, seamless, beautiful, easy experience thanks to the hard work of Karsten and Sharon and their teams at Harman. So thank you both and to all of your colleagues for this beautiful next evolution of Hitting Play that you are all designing and making reality. But I have one more question for both of you, and it's one that we ask all of our VIP guests, everyone from Carl Cox to A.R. Rahman, and that is to choose a track for our title playlist. And it can just be a track that makes you feel good or a track with a story behind it. It's all good. And we're going to start with you first, Sharon.
Well, one of my favorite songs, and also we sang together with our leadership team last year at our annual dinner, was Queen's We Are the Champions.
We Are the Champions. What a mic drop moment. And very appropriate for the team at Harman and JBL. That's brilliant, Sharon. And Karsten, how about your good self? What are you adding to the playlist?
I would add the artist called Lofi from the start, which is a really groovy, kind of groovy, happy bossa nova type. And from the start, because, you know, with JBL, 8 decades of audio innovation, 8 decades of being part of the audio music scene, we are not at the end. We're just at a new beginning. So from the start.
From the start, a new beginning right there. That's just the perfect choice, Karsten, as well. Brilliant. Thank you. And my own contribution to this episode's playlist is going to be a tune by the Cinematic Orchestra that I love. And I'm taking the theme very literally. The tune is called Evolutions, and it is, or Evolution 2, should I say. It's the Mr. P mix, and it features Fontella Bass. So that's a beautiful kind of mix of old and new. It's got an old soul in there, new production, and it just sounds completely timeless. So listen, as we've heard today, the future of audio isn't just about better sound, it's about deeper connection, and it's about the evolution of Hitting Play. So from speakers that travel with us to sound that adapts in real time to how we're feeling, to immersive experiences that place us deep in the moment, the way we listen is becoming more personal, more emotional, and more alive. A big thank you to our wonderful guests. Thank you so much to Karsten Olesen.
Thank you. Thank you, Austin. It was great being here again. Thank you.
Thank you, Karsten. And thank you so much to Sharon Peng.
Thank you. Thank you, Aishan, for the opportunity. Thanks to our audience.
It's just wonderful to have you both on the podcast again. Thank you for sharing your insights, sharing your passion, and giving us a glimpse into what's next. So for more exclusive content, some behind-the-scenes goodies, and maybe even some competitions, find us over on the Instagram. We're easy to find. It's at Audio Talks Podcast. Until next time, until next episode, keep listening, keep exploring, and keep hitting play. See you next time.